nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. McIntosh, you can go through that.
Yes.
Good, thank you. Roll call. Counselor White? Counselor Cunningham?
Present.
Counselor Anderson?
Here.
Counselor Hobson?
Here.
I'm here as well. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. McIntosh?
Yes, Your Honor, we have two adjustments to the agenda. We're going to move our executive session that now sits at the end of the meeting to old business. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. And then we're going to move Resolution G also to new business following Item F. Shuffled in with the rest of the resolutions for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Consent agenda, looking for approval of the council minutes from December 4th and November 6th.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
I have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Motion in 2 seconds, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Traffic and Public Safety Committee minutes for October 9th. Looking for a motion to approve.
I have a question about the agenda items. I'm the chairperson. Do you want me to come up there?
Can this wait till comments on the from the audience?
Sure, as long as you're not passing the agenda before that.
The consent agenda?
Okay.
What's your comments?
My comments are there's three items missing from the agenda. There was a meeting scheduled for the 30th of October, and then it was continued to the 10th of January, and then canceled and continued to the 29th. I don't know if that needs to be on the agenda or not.
No, that's not.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, so I have a motion to approve item D under consent agenda. You did move. I'm looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action and they have full information until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to approach council? Okay, we'll start with the gentleman in the back there.
That's what I was Brett Bustrom, 184 Danielle Drive. I'm just bringing up, and I guess I'm looking into the interest from the city into what we can do to improve the baseball fields and get Cal Ripken Little League Baseball to begin playing games out here. I know the last season there was 3 teams from the Winston area that played all our games over there in Roseburg, and I think it would be an awesome idea to get Little League games played out here in our city.
Do they practice here?
Yes, the 3 teams practice here.
Okay. Andy, where are we?
I think it's a great idea. We've talked about this for a long time, utilizing those ball fields down there. I think that, you know, as far as, are you wanting to know the process? How you go about doing this?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at if there was interest here. I'm willing to go and start talking to the Cal Ripken people and some of the VFW people about their field, but if it's okay with the city and trying to find, you know, if it's going to be a no-go from...
Any comments?
Well, I can follow you up just a second here. So
okay.
The process will be, once you decide to do that, we would get you a project worksheet. You come to the Public Works, discuss kind of what you plan, what you're thinking, and then we invite you to the park board, get you on the agenda to discuss kind of the plan of the park board and any questions they may have, cover as many bases as we can, try to answer as many questions as we can, then eventually you end up back here at some point, potentially in front of the council. That's kind of the how that process would work.
Okay, so but first, he's seeking support from the council to proceed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fine with me.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Absolutely.
Yes.
I would love to see the fields used and, you know, activities.
Bringing
yeah,
family stuff here. Yes.
But so if you get Cal Ripken to buy in, then you got to go talk to Andy.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you guys for your time.
Yes, sir, Jack.
Is there a project that needs to be done, or should that just go to the park board? They're just seeking use of the field.
Well, he's got to get a Cal Ripken's approval to play games here.
I don't know if they want us to try and upgrade, like, the dugouts or something, and we'll have to work on all that kind of
stuff. I know there's been some changes to those fields down there. I'm not sure if they're – Andy, do you want to discuss that a little bit or not?
That's in the works. I know that there's another group of the Timberwolves who reached out, and they did some work down there, Mayor, without some authorization, and we're requesting some restoration be completed before their request to tie up the small ball field. They're requesting to use the small ball field for softball, which, once again, we're all excited about bringing kids to the community, but they have a few things to work on before we can fulfill that,
okay.
that request.
And the DFW already has a baseball. They use that field. I mean, they do have some dugouts and stuff.
Okay. So, any questions from council for Brett?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
We'd like to see it. Thank you.
It's a good idea. It'd be cool.
Okay, anybody else like to approach council? Okay, sir.
Just
do you want to stand up and
just stand? If
yeah,
you can, that's
right
nice.
There. Right there.
You're fine.
Sorry for giving you a late.
Don't worry.
It's all good.
My name is Mike Donahue. My wife, Donna, and I live at 2652 Rockwood Road, Northwest Rockwood Road.
Okay.
We're part of a little lake effect that occurred last week and the weekend before. The culvert that filled up down on the 30-inch culvert down on Danielle.
Okay.
I want to thank you guys. That was a beautiful little road you put. That looked cool. From our dining room window, man, it looks like something out of a Hallmark card. A card out there with all the horses and the moon, and man, you were set.
Wait until he gets the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
a lot went into that, I want to let you know.
Well, I should see that, but... that culvert, that pipe you guys put in down there is massively undersized. Massively undersized. If that culvert, if the water would have passed through the way it should have, that problem at that 30-inch culvert down on Danielle, there would have been people living out of canoes or wearing goggles to get to their bedrooms.
Okay.
There needs to be something else to address this. And I'm being told, I called on Saturday at about 5 minutes till noon, and I got a call back from this guy before noon. So they've been outstanding trying to work with us, but that was a massive mistake with that culvert down there. If that pipe would have been working, that water would have been ungodly high down on Danielle.
Okay,
and
thanks.
I spoke.
Just hang on just a second. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Andy, you want to defend yourself?
Because
he's accusing you of being responsive.
The assistant city manager came over on Tuesday, and Andy's second came over on Tuesday and sat down and stood there and talked for a while. I thought on Saturday, after speaking to Andy, that our problem was created by that 30-inch backup down the stream. But it wasn't. I had a dam on the south end of my house. And the water, as far as I could tell, went from ours all the way around your road and then back down Danielle.
Mm-hmm. It did.
That was a boatload of water.
Yes, it was. We had a tremendous amount of rain, which that whole hillside, which we talked about, go ahead.
Please.
Okay. So, starting to kind of, we've got some pictures we were going to look at some point. Just some kind of tight pictures. I know we're premature. I don't know if we want to do this.
You want to pull those up?
But we have. Yeah.
We got some visual aids here to help.
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
Paint a picture.
Changes. It's up to the mayor, though.
So. Hang on just a second. Is there anybody else who would like to approach the city talk to council? Okay, let's go ahead and go ahead and jump on up then if you guys don't. You have something you want to say, sir?
Yes.
Russell Dodge. I live at 2542 Rockway, just on the corner of Daniel. I had the lake out in front of my house. Got a good picture of me and my Speedo out there. That's going to be handled. I think if we get the creek cleaned out, whatever, it's going to be handled. My biggest deal, I'm getting so sick and tired of looking at those houses over there. They're right across the street, and the junk and the noise and all the kids showing up to work for 2 days in a row, and then they're gone, and 2 weeks later they're tearing siding off and piling it up, and all their trash blows over into my yard. And is there anything that can be
Is this in the city or is this in the county?
These are the zombie houses.
These are the zombie houses.
Brockway and
Daniel. Oh, crap. Gee whiz.
The two large hulks that are remaining there.
Well, they're just leaving such a mess out there, and every time there's a wind, it seems like everything comes onto my property, and I'm picking it up, and they'll work for a week or so, then they're gone for a month, and then they're back banging and pounding, and sometimes they're there pretty late at night, and I just don't appreciate it very well, and don't mean to whine and cry, but
Mayor, if I may,
real tired of the eyesore.
So we can reach out in regards to the accumulated waste. We apologize if that's affecting your...
Well, they did clean it once.
The projects, the progress that they've made constitutes a fairly significant push from a city standpoint, some probably about a year ago. And there's been steady progress, but we understand that there's still progress to be made. The Willway houses have been mostly shored up, if not all of them. The Brockway houses, there's a lot of progress there. Mark mentioned the two larger ones that are there on the corner. Those are a prolific undertaking.
One's facing Daniel. Yeah, they've been working some on those. It's the two behind them that is just been ongoing for 4 years.
We have a contact with their superintendent, and we can bring that to his attention.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so now we're going to jump back to...
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of background for the folks that are maybe kind of new to the area, and a little bit of back history. This particular area was a sewer main line that was put in years ago with the that area for access for sewer down along this off Brockway, which is all fine and dandy, but other than the fact that we had no way to get to it other than the paved section of Brockway. So I've been here a little over 17 years, and the first project I had was assigned from my predecessor to go clean this main line. So I grabbed me and there was one other individual at that time, and we went to try to clean this line, and I'm like, where's it? So anyway, to make a long story short, the main line is down over there. So this has been going on for a number of years, knowing that at some point with the house that's going to be built, we're going to lose complete access to this thing. So it's now, even now that we couldn't find it, we had no easements, we technically couldn't work, being supposed to be pulling down. And Mike can vouch for this, is they have the nice, beautiful manicured backyard, and we'd come through there and try to, and we'd have a couple of hose through there, which was not real good anyway. But so one of the first things, and I have to say this, we had approached all the other planters prior to Thomas bringing pictures and bringing, when we were flushing, bringing this problem, it's going to not go away. We brought Thomas on, and the first project, Megan reached out to him and said, hey, would you want to help us assist us flush this main line? And he said, sure. And so he showed up with boots and stuff on, and he assisted us with this main line, and he goes, what in the world is going on here? And I said, well, we need to get an easement from the school, and we need to get a road in here. And that's what he worked on. He did. I got to give kudos to Thomas. He made that happen. So that's the backdrop of why that thing was there. We had no access to that main line. So that being said, here's the pictures coming up and a little bit of information on the access road that we put in.
I got some really good pictures of it, too. I can bring it over.
Yeah, we got some good pictures. So we had a tremendous amount of rain through that. Prior to that, the big heavy rain weekend we had coming out, I rode up with an individual, Sean Bateson, who is our contractor for this particular project, and we drove the whole drainage system from the point up all the way through, got an idea of what's coming up, can we identify any potential plug-ups, anything like that, prior to the rain event coming, not knowing how big an event that would be. At that time, there was a minimal amount of flow. We've been taking pictures. We got a 12-inch pipe that at some point in this process will come through, but we put a 12-inch pipe in there knowing that, okay, this is phase one of this project. We don't really know what's going to happen here. How much rain are we going to be getting? This was always a wet zone flood area when you never could walk out there with the blackberries. There was just a real limited time of year you could actually get out there. Public Works had never monitored that drainage system, that basin area, because there was nothing there for it to monitor. It was all natural. It's just a natural drainage area. There's no culverts to speak of on our side. It was just a school property, a private property. So we really haven't done any work on it. So we punched the road in, had that first rain, and then that's when things start getting real quick. So tremendous amount of rain coming down. The 12-inch culvert we put in was quickly overwhelmed. Mike's retaining wall that he built several years ago, three and a half years ago, which, by the way, was without a permit.
That's after contacting your office and told no.
That's another story. Like I said, I have to clarify, like I told you, that I guarantee you no from the city said, go ahead. We've been down this road with other, like I told you, we've done this before, so.
So just to add a little bit to what Andy was saying, you'll notice Northwest Brockway Road here as part of Safari Estates. Here's Brockway School. When we started digging in, and like Andy said, when I got here, I had noticed when we looked at the platting for this property that the sewer line was installed on the western or the back end of all the properties, to where it's nearly impossible to maintain. So kind of where my arrow is. Now, this isn't updated because a lot of these houses are kind of filled in, but where the arrow goes is kind of where that sewer line goes. Normally, it's in the right-of-way, so where we can put our flushing equipment down in the manholes.
But are all those houses subgrade?
Some of them, a number of them are.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll notice this picture kind of encapsulates Public Works had to put their flusher truck on Brockway. And you'll notice an assembly line with the flusher line here, and we had to go.
Are you in that picture, Thomas?
Yeah, I am. I'm there in the middle there. I'm doing my part, holding a little bit of line there.
And that's
there.
An easy one. Putting it down to ours was the hard one.
But this is a phenomenal bit of work that for years and years it was a 2-year flushing job that they had to do every 2 years, and they had to kind of pull the line all the way to the back between properties to get to the manhole to flush the sewer line. So instead of going through the exorbitant effort, we approached the school and we requested directly as you come off Danielle, you come up here, a line or a road that we could carve in and improve so we can come from the east and not have to affect any property owners. So you'll see some pictures here. This is where you come directly off Danielle, and this is where it's kind of being carved in. This is looking down from the school. They, like Andy was saying, they started to kind of grind this out and get it ready, get the road ready. and we had an awesome contractor that does a lot of work for the city that essentially put the road in. Well, because of the rain event, Andy, if you want to pick it up again, the rain essentially caused a horrible detriment that nobody could have anticipated. I mean, this is the consistency of a 5 or 10 year rain event.
So is there a culvert that goes under that road that has failed then, or is it just not appropriate?
It's, look at the tree line past the end of that last truck. That is the outfall of that culvert. It's completely plugged. Going down through, there's no ditch there. It's just throwing through the leaf or the limbs and the bushes.
Okay, so how do we resolve this?
I talked to Andy about it. I'll go back to that other picture. I'm gonna step up there if you don't mind. There's my truck. if you go back to that other one, you can see how all along the creek bed there. I think that's most of the problem. All the way up, all the way across the street, it's just plugged with roots, branches, briars. It needs to be gone in there and cleaned out really good. And I don't know if you need to clean that culvert that goes under the road right there, but there's probably 5-6 inches of sediment in it.
But okay, so whose property is that?
School's, isn't it?
It is the school's property, yeah. But, you know, as Andy was saying, that, and you're not wrong, there's some really shallow ditch line there.
And then if you cross Danielle there where it comes out over to Looking Glass.
So how do we fix it, or do we fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question.
This one?
Yeah, there's the outlet of the culverts on the other side of the road, looking down that tree line.
Yeah, it's across this.
Completely plugged, going down to another culvert.
That's actually after we cleaned it. We cleaned it on a Saturday, myself and Megan.
If you wouldn't have, it would have got bad.
Right, yeah. So we hand mucked that out just to get a little bit of relief. But that whole system, so to answer your question, Mayor, next step we're looking at doing is talking to the school. We feel it appropriate that it's more of a public works undertaking to maintain that ditch and open it up. We're more equipped to do that type of work. We want to get in there and open that ditch up, clean that up, get some drainage in there, and then address both sides of that thing so we can actually put probably some armament.
Cutting some trees off, it's a lot of leaf problems.
Yes. There was no drainage, though. It just goes everywhere. And so we were pretty close, and we actually walked up to that road that day.
Yeah.
And actually look at the road, and I'm thinking, I'm actually glad. I mean, it sounds crazy that road was there, because I believe we would have created a huge.
It would have been way
more. Well, I'm concerned that you guys are going to be messing with the wetland, and you know what that costs. Right. It's huge.
Well, it's still a ditch. It was a man-made ditch that just had no maintenance done.
This ditch line was repurposed for the use of the subdivision and the runoff from the subdivision. A lot of the runoff on the school side, because there's such an increased amount of area, mitigates mostly on set. But it's that subdivision that causes a lot of collection down there. So we have every right to maintain it. Regardless of
that school district property,
So we have the responsibility to maintain it.
We haven't.
Okay, go ahead. You got a question?
Where does that, once it gets underneath the road, does it continue? It doesn't go underneath the Looking Glass, does it?
Yeah, it does.
But it does go underneath Looking Glass?
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. It ends up tying back into more open ditches. There's that big round in the corner. There's that fished area. There's a big 4-foot culvert there. That was only flowing, a foot? Or
yeah, maybe.
There wasn't that much water coming out of there.
Yeah.
Very minimal flow, so that automatically knew, but there's nothing we can really do much. But it goes underneath that one, Alan, and then flows across underneath, back to that open ditch, back to another pipe, little pipe system, back to our other section that's part, Looking Glass Creek. And then, fortunately, we've opened that up and done a bunch of work there, so that system's working good so far. But we used to have, we'd be back all the way up to Looking Glass.
So to resolve this,
we need to get permission from the school district to access their ditch to and then probably enter into an agreement for us to maintain it.
Okay.
Probably. So basically, it just means it needs to be maintained. It just means we maintain on a regular basis.
Yeah, so that's
it was probably a couple of years ago. They came out there and they had a backhoe and they were busting some branches off. Oh, yeah, we're going to clean the ditch all out. We're going to trim up all these trees. They're just huge oak trees back there. Over the years, they just have built up so many leaves, so many roots, branches breaking off and plugging the creek. And I think the trees all need to be trimmed, too. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
I have a question from a wetland perspective, because when we bought the property, we were told that was wetland and creek. But so we were also advised that this road now would extend not from one corner of our property, but all along the back side of it. Am I correct?
That's the ultimate goal, is to extend that full length of our main line.
So my question is, since it's zoned a wetland area, and I'm not entirely sure at all what that means, but I assume it may mean taking down more of the trees behind our house, and some of them are actually on our side of the property line, and some of the same trees on the other side of the property line. So, in any way, with respect to cutting down trees in a wetland area, how does that work?
Go ahead. Well, Mayor, if I may, the wetland issue is a non-issue. The reason is it isn't is because nothing has been delineated specifically by a certified wetland delineator in this area. The second thing is, even if it was, we're allowed to disturb up to 50 or 80 cubic yards of fill or removal in order to maintain and do things like this. So the wetlands are really not an issue. And Andy's right. I don't think the school district is going to really have an issue with us taking over maintenance because they're not necessarily equipped to look after it. But once the ditch line actually starts functioning on what it's supposed to be doing, then we should see a good amount of mitigation of it. I hope that answers your question.
Sir.
After Andy brought to my attention that I hadn't gotten a permit to build a retaining wall, I want to stand here in front of all of you guys and swear on a stack of Bibles to God. I called the city of Winston first. No mistake about it. I called Roseburg on the referral because I told the person in Winston that I was bordering up on a wetland and I was building a retaining wall and I wanted to make sure it was done right, just like all the other permits I've got. I've had building permits before. I welcome them. I do not run from building permits. I was hoping to get some help. Willamette gave me some help. But now I can find on the internet 5 years later Roseburg's regulations on retaining walls.
Yeah, and
you know, you can find all this stuff now as long as you got Google or a decent search engine, and you have half a clue. But it goes beyond that. We were not told that you guys were going to be bringing a bulldozer within 40 feet of our house, and or your assistant said you're not required to. Well, guys, come on, man. Are you going to have a bulldozer sitting outside your house and not know what the hell's what's going on with it, what it's doing, what the purpose is, especially after all the... I spoke with the lady that was in charge of your department, Andy, back in 2012, 2013. I dealt with her a lot with issues. I was the president of the homeowners association for about a year.
Right.
We got things taken care of. I like dealing with the city. You guys have been good. But that, and being told that you guys don't need to tell me that you're going to do this, and now on compound that by telling me you're going to come around behind my house.
Well, I can tell you, Mike, I guarantee you moving forward, particularly knowing what we know up here with that drainage amount of, there'll be some communication, there'll be that type above you. As of right now, we will continue moving forward, working with the school to address the drainage that is currently in place
to protect the road. In the meanwhile, putting in that undersized pipe has changed the way that creek flows. It used to flow on the far side of the trees from my house. Now it's flowing right along my retaining wall.
I'm sorry, what pipe are we talking about that you believe is undersized?
That road, the new road that I put in, that 12-inch.
Maybe you can show
all the water backed up behind that.
Okay.
You got all the pictures of the stuff.
Yeah, I was out there. I lived across.
I went back out this morning. I've got water running right on my footing.
These are...
And we haven't... You called that a big rain event. We've had more rain.
That one.
Right there. And if another one comes down in the next couple
of
weeks,
it's on
the
far end to the north.
The thing about this rain, we've had more rain in numbers of inches of rain. But look, this is a very intense rain. And very intense rain happens. This kind of thing will happen in the middle of summer from thunderstorms. That's typically what causes that. But in this case, we know in 2017, the RV, quote, the RV property on the corner of Abraham was a lake, completely inundated. And it's barely got any water in it now from all the rain that we did have.
That creek changes more by the saturation of the hill than the amount of rain that hits it. If that hillside's saturated, there's going to be a rundown there. And it doesn't matter if that rain is a quarter of an inch or 2 inches. I've watched that creek for 18 years. And I'm telling you.
Well, and they only recently cleared that property behind us. That was an 8-acre parcel next to the school lot. And there was a lot of the vines and stuff. And anyway, the property's been cleared and mowed and everything. So I think that contributed to the water coming down the creek on that side.
But the creek has changed. It's a snake now. It was pretty much a straight line down that creek. But because the water got up, the water in back of my house got up to about probably 4 to 5 feet back there in the main channel of that creek. And then it got up to where the trees, it was hitting the tree limb trunks, and it started swirling around. Well, now I got swirls coming down there, and it's screwing up my footing. And Andy's recommendation was to put rocks down. Well, great. You guys come along and you're causing this, and now I'm supposed to pick up the dime to fix it. And I'm sorry, but I have a problem with that.
Well, I can tell you, Mike, since you brought it up, the pictures that we had when they did the sewer connection for the house top, your wall was the bottom of that erosion. It was about like it is now. From the picture we took then versus now, I couldn't really tell any difference for the erosion.
We can show you those.
So we have the pictures. Okay.
We don't have them.
I've got some pictures. But that being said, we're going to do everything we can in our power to make sure that we have drainage through there, okay? Want you to know that.
But the problem now is I've got what will be an ongoing problem there because that creek is across now. It's on the back side of those trees. It's on my side of those trees. And I've watched that creek and it doesn't change much. And now that it's got that footprint going, if we get a nice, decent rain, it's never going to go away. And you're going to have a truck coming along in the back of the property back there with tons of rocks in it. And throw some over on my side and clean up the base of my retaining wall.
We're going to do everything we can within our power and legal standing to do things right up there.
Okay. So if you'll excuse me, we're kind of past your 3 minutes of fame.
I'm sorry.
And we're trying to work through this with him. I think it should be clear to you by now that Andy and Mark and Thomas are willing to do what they can to help you with your problem. Are we there yet or not?
Yeah, we're getting close. I would like to know, though, before you go rolling back to the back of the house, what you're going to be doing. I'd like to have an idea.
Sorry?
You're going to turn that corner. Well, you're going to turn the corner from where your platform's at now and swing up the backside of my property. When they do that, if they don't cut that corner real tight, they're going to have to take out a big tree that sits right there on the corner. That's kind of a nice tree. It's an oldie.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, we're happy to have a follow-up meeting with the property owner, but I think the crux of our concern moving forward is making sure to mitigate the drainage pattern overall, which means meeting with the school district, gaining some type of agreement, assuming maintenance, and moving forward with actions that might help mitigate that. But in the meantime, we're happy to meet with you and talk about everything we're doing, future plans, and facilitate anything we can do to help further mitigate.
Go down there and look at that creek now and look at my retaining wall. And I've got pictures of what it looked like when I built the retaining wall. I've got pictures of it a couple of years ago after it was up. And that creek's nothing like what it was. And it changed in a matter of 2 days.
Well, I'm going to let you deal with Andy and Thomas on that. We're going to move on, please, if you don't mind. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. Reports of boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Mr. McIntosh, Economic Development.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. I just have one thing to share with you, and it's in regards to the CORE project. We were approached by a private property owner that was had questions regarding a property line adjustment on the property. And at that point, we began doing research and found that as of the 10th of this month, the property was assigned a receiver. Of course, you know, it's went through a litany of different challenges, and the property owners have elected to go through the receivership process. It's been months and months since there's been any progress in that regard, but as of the 10th, they have been assigned a receiver. City staff has reached out gentleman, Ken Eiler, he's an attorney out of Portland. We have reached out and established communication, and we now have essentially a dialogue. That's essentially the only highlight or point I'd like to share with the economic development. We also want to make sure that you know that economic development still does not have a liaison, maybe something to kick around and think about. Traffic safety as well.
Okay. Thank you. I'll have to have a workshop and discuss that.
Okay.
Department reports. Mr. Sherlock is in the house.
Yes, sir. So as Andy pointed out, we went through a RAND event. I saw the most that I've seen there in a peak flow in the 14 years I've been there. We hit about 12.2 million a day go through there. We can't read anything over 10.6, so it's kind of a guesstimate. We kind of learned some new pinch points of the plant. So we didn't have any overflows. I don't believe we caused any overflows, which was unbelievable because during the peak flow, we lost a pump for about 30 or 40 minutes. We had a 2-inch schedule 4090 somehow get in the pump, plug it up. So,
wow.
That got a little dicey. But yeah, we weathered that and weathered the next RAND event. I think it was Wednesday. I met with TAG today regarding our PLCs. So I know we've discussed those in the past. They are going to work on a plan to upgrade those, whether that's all at once or in different phases. We're going to see how much the total cost is and kind of go from there. We have some electrical work done in our digester building. I keep bringing up the digester building because it's kind of disintegrating before our eyes. And this was another one of those things. We had an exhaust fan on the top of the building that wouldn't work. It was linked to a damper motor inside the building where the conduit had literally just disappeared. So,
wow.
It was rotten and gone.
Metal conduit?
Yeah. Yep. So the electrician, we basically just abandoned it and bypassed that damper and then pulled the wires out of there to kind of get rid of the hazard. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Sherlock? Okay, Chief Sardi, you're up.
Mayor, Council, community members. So I've got a couple things. I've been number crunching this today and last week. A lot of you don't know that we lost another vehicle. One of our 2014, 10-year-old Chevy Caprice blew up the motor on it. I looked into getting it repaired. And because it's an LS motor, it's $10,000. So that car is done. Talked to the manager. We looked at our public safety fee. We got almost $50,000 back on insurance in the other car that started on fire and burned up. So my recommendation was to purchase one vehicle. The manager gave me approval to do that. I did purchase it today. I'm pretty surprised on the cost difference. So the 2019 Dodges, which are low bid, by the way, we purchased those we bought three of them for $252,000, I think. And this year, I'm going to be trying to do two, is $254,000 for two. So the pricing is just outrageous.
No.
No, that's what it would be for him to do, too.
He's crunched too many numbers today.
And we go back and forth like this all the time.
I'm dyslexic. You can't work it. We went ahead and pushed the button on that, and with it's almost $50,000 for the insurance, so it's going to cost us around $33,000 to purchase one vehicle. So that's our plan. That'll be a line car. We'll go on the line, and then by July we should have enough in our public safety fund to purchase another one to replace a 2014 vehicle as well. So I'm trying to get rid of our 10-year-old vehicles. They're done.
So when are we going to see this car?
On the Dodge Durango, it's a 90-day turnaround. So I pushed the button to order it. It's up in the Portland area, and then it'll get sent down to Salem for the outfitting. So that's what will happen.
And that's through state purchase, right?
Yeah, state purchase.
So will you take the equipment out of the one that we're decommissioning?
No, it's a 10-year-old Chevy, a different car.
Different.
Yeah, all the rate. So the advantage to this is I did add the repeater system to this car, which I'll get on to the next topic here. That repeater system will benefit our school resource officers that are in schools that have zero communication with our dispatch center. So they actually have to use a phone to contact, which is very dangerous in my opinion. We're trying to fix the radio system. It's a $33 million fix for Douglas County. And so we'll put the Band-Aid on it. But I want my officers to be able to communicate with dispatch. When we go to disturbance calls, we go to residents, and I've just dealt with it, but for the last 30 years, we have no communication in a residence to our dispatch center. And we typically run one officer shifts. So we're by ourselves on a two-man call on a domestic, dealing with maybe one or two people or more.
Yeah, no,
we don't have communication with our dispatch. So it's kind of taking time long. It's a little scary. So we're trying to work on it and make it work. So with that being said, this car was ordered today. It'll come with the repeater, the new Apex radio, so it's all set up. The second topic I want to talk about is the school district. I had a meeting with them 2 weeks ago. We were dealing with some other stuff, and I brought up the idea of maybe having them help us purchase a repeater. So there was a different repeater that was ordered by the city of Sutherland. The chief up there called me and said, hey, I got a repeater here. I don't need it. So I reached out to him at $6,500, the school district's going to pay $5,000 of it. So we're going to come up with $1,500 or whatever to offset the cost from the city side. So that'll give both of my school officers a repeater in their vehicles. So I'm pretty happy about that. So that's where we're at on that. We do a swear-in for my officer that we hired from Myrtle Creek. The swear-in date is going to be my office on February 1st. He'll be our sixth officer, the one that we put together a year ago and didn't have. And he'll start his 8-week field training process. So we'll start in on that.
Good.
Sergeant Stifler and myself attended the Joint Chiefs Sheriff's Conference in Seaside. A lot of interesting topics that I can just go and do a long list of stuff that makes me want to pull my hair out. So, but I voiced our opinion for the Southern Oregon area. And see how it goes.
Cool. You're the only one there from Southern Oregon?
No, there were several chiefs there and several sheriffs. So.
Good.
Your Honor, if I may, just for the benefit of the audience here tonight, the new cars cost $43,000 for just the police model Durango. On top of that, we put another $23,000 worth of equipment in that vehicle. So, and unfortunately, as the chief said, our 14s, they were Chevys for one thing, and that stuff doesn't cross dealers like that, and it's outdated for sure. So
all the equipment with the boss name, all the sirens and all that are now integrated into the police or into the car computer. So based on the car you get, depends on the equipment they get. Back in the day when I started, it was a siren box, you plugged in hot, you put a speaker on there, plugged in your radio, and you were done. It's not that way anymore. So everything runs off the computer of the car. Your blinkers, your lights, and everything's integrated. Huge process, and that's why they cost so much.
Yeah. So I just wanted everyone to have an understanding of why we're talking about so much money for a Dodge and Durango.
Yes,
it's
a lot of money. It's like a fire. Anyway, it's all happening here.
Anything else, Chief?
No.
Questions for Chief Sardi? Public Works, Mr. Howell, please.
Well, we covered a big chunk of it already, so we're good there. Let's talk about the pavilion, the exciting good news at the community park, which we are very excited to share with council tonight, some updated pictures. And we'll just kind of go over the project from the kind of the start, kind of over just a few pictures, get everybody up to speed on it. We're very excited about that one. And Megan or Thomas, feel free to pop in there and say what you need to say as you go through.
Yeah, so as Andy was saying, we had a very good grant a process that we've been able to take advantage of. We went out to bid. I think bid tabulations were uploaded in here, but we wanted you to get kind of a good feel on what was over there. Of course, a lot of you have been over in the pavilion area. You have kind of these old cobblestone material there that all had to be taken out. This, I believe, is a picture of the construction bidding process. They were all over there figuring out if, you know, they want to do it. This is a pretty good picture of, you know, kind of what's going in and what was there before. Like I said, these old cobblestone type blocks that all had to be taken out. And there's essentially been an evolution. Of course, materials were always, that's always a hindrance. There's a time lapse there. But you'll see pictures here to where they're putting the footings in and all that stuff. You got a closer picture here, just kind of the older situation. And here's more recent. Public Works sent over quite a few pictures, and we'll just kind of go through them here. Here's a lot of the timbers going up. Footings are already in. Everything's in. There was a lot of pouring that happened. Really robust, a nice building. It's coming along here. You don't quite see any kind of roofing material yet, but of course there's going to be a drinking fountain over here, some availability there. There will be power hookup. This just kind of goes through a little bit back and forth here. Nice pouring job that happened.
And this was all on a grant basis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So no money came out of the city budget?
No. Special thanks to the Wake Up Board. It was the Stuntsman grant resources. We were awarded that. It was about $126,000. There was $10,000 put in as a contingency. So that line item had about $136,000. The bid came in at $102,000 with only about a $4,700 change order to take the rest of those cobblestones out. So very good, positive project.
Cool.
So after this project's done, we have a balance of a little over $74,000 to wrap up this the agreement with Jeremy Hunt. And then when this thing's all done and said, we should have around a little over $28,000 left out of that monies. There's been a request, which we know we want to get a 50-amp power over there, possibly 110 for some events, park stuff. We've been really seriously looking at lights, having a light over there for safety and other concerns. So we're still going to kick that around a little bit. Possibly a picnic table, tables, but we'll review that. We'll review that in a little more detail, but for sure we want to get some power over there. So and we got the tunnel and groove sheeting. The metal roofing should be up this week, Wednesday or Thursday. They're cutting out prepping for the sidewalks now, forming it, ready to go on that. That should happen, you know, depending on weather. But all in all, very excited. This would be really nice for the community park. A long time in coming, so yeah.
Andy, is there any thought of putting a surveillance camera in there?
We talked about that too. That's another good question. We have one across the way, so we'll probably do something on that side to pick up both angles of it. So yeah.
Perfect.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. I hate to have to do that, but we're kind of forced.
Encourage you all, if you're on your way past there, to maybe take a look and see the progress.
Today. And they're working today too.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Any questions for Andy? Thank you very much, Andy. Community Development, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. A couple things real quick. We've been approved for the DEQ planning loan to complete a wastewater master plan. The loan documents, along with the supplemental budget and a resolution in conjunction, will be ready for your council meeting in February.
And that's reimbursable, correct?
Yeah, it's $100,000 and it's 100% forgivable upon completion of the project.
Thank you.
On the technical assistance part of it. A couple other things. City staff was contacted by ODOT regarding a pending roundabout that they are in design for at the intersection of Brockway and 42. I can already hear some sighs on that. There's been a little bit of a history here. There's been a couple of interesting turn of events. This conversation was peculiar in itself. The questioning was what kind of review process would the city of Winston have to do in order to relocate or remove the Rockway store completely to a property somewhere in rural Douglas County. So what they're running up against is right-of-way acquisition in order to make most likely a 150-foot diameter roundabout work for larger vehicles. So they don't have the right-of-way.
53-foot chip trucks?
Yeah.
Larger, any number of larger vehicles. So what we did was we facilitated the historic review portion of our code, which would require the application to go before Planning Commission for any changes. Relocating, if you're going to change anything, even aesthetically on the outside of the building, it would require a city review process. So she didn't have any additional detail. Janelle Stratner is our contact with...
What's the difference between the accident count at that intersection versus the accident count at Looking Glass and 42?
Well, I wouldn't have those numbers handy, but the benefit of a roundabout is that it does not make your accident thresholds go down. It makes the severity of the accidents significantly decrease.
That's so, not my point.
I don't have those traffic numbers, but we can get them for you.
The other thing is most roundabouts are with cars. They aren't with big trucks. Two semis going around there.
A lot of it depends on what kind of roundabout they build. Do they build a two-lane roundabout or a single-lane roundabout? A two-lane roundabout, much harder for vehicles and trucks to interface on than a single-lane roundabout. So we don't have those kind of details, but what we know is that they approached us with this probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they ran into a resounding no from the community. And
yeah. Shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, what to me, this Looking Glass situation is far worse than that one.
We have more crashes at Looking Glass than we do Rockway. The ones at Rockway are typically fatals when they get hit. In my 30 years, we've had more Looking Glass and Main versus Rockway.
So,
but we can develop. Those are both our higher intersections.
Excuse me for a moment. Something I'm not sure about. On the Brockway Road, is that basically a city line between where the city ends and the county starts?
No, actually, the city property limits go out past that, I believe. Don't they? Isn't to the property that is just to the north or south and west?
The corporate limits runs along the south end, encompasses the southeast and southwest corners.
But not the other side. Right?
No, the north as well. The northwest is in the urban growth boundary. The northeast is in the city limits.
So 100% of the roundabout then would be within the city limit.
Well, it's 100% within ODOT's jurisdiction because they own the road.
What does ODOT say that they don't want to put a stop sign, not a stop sign, but a stoplight of some sort there?
In the traffic safety meeting that we had, it was someone from ODOT. It wasn't Rosalie Singer. It was Bob. Anyways, the ODOT guy, really nice guy, he told me that, again, it's not confirmed, that the governor's directive, prior governor's directive, was that every intersection is to be looked at, that's a state intersection, we look at for a roundabout before any traffic lights. So that's part of their.
We want to be
process.
Like Europe.
We'll
put a fountain in the middle of it.
There's two reasons. One is ongoing maintenance costs of a signalized intersection, with the cost for electricity, as well as just the upkeep of the light system itself. The secondary one is the one that Thomas alluded to earlier, and that's to reduce the fatality, the fatal accidents to zero.
What if they just put a four-way stop?
Because it's the same, I mean, what happens is on high-speed roads like that, what you get is typically some car, you know, running it. And so it's like somebody pulling out in front of, getting T-boned. You still have the high-speed interactions there, whereas with a roundabout, you don't. So, one of the things, like if you look around the county, we have all these county roads out
with all intersections going everywhere. And those are the ones that are the most dangerous that you have. We lose lots of kids in them. You know, it's just, that's why roundabouts became, got in favor to begin with.
So I think the city roads were going around about up on Alameda.
Garden Valley one, yeah.
Southern Europe.
That, that is what I had, Mayor, in terms of the report. Nothing further. Happy.
Thank you, Thomas. Any questions for Thomas? Okay, Mr. Bauer, administration.
Just a couple things to add to the discussion so far. We've started negotiations with the police union that their contract is up at the end of the year. The same thing with the Public Works Union. Their contract is up at the end of the year, but they are right now in the process of determining whether they're even going to continue with the union or not. So they're looking at probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks making a decision to disband the union completely.
Well, that's going to be a fun.
And then so anyway, that's where we're at. We just started in the process. We'll be keeping you up to date in executive session as those negotiations continue on. I was just going to follow up on the police car issue. We will be bringing back a supplemental budget on that to spend those unanticipated insurance dollars. That will be coming back to you. And then also on Wednesday, we are attending a get-together out at Umpqua Community College with Representative Val Hoyle.
Is she going to be there, or just a representative?
No, she'll be there.
She'll be there. Interesting.
That's going to be fun.
Anything else, Mr. Bauer?
No, that's all I need.
Thank you very much. Under old business, we're going to do an executive session. So pursuant to ORS 192.6602E, to conduct deliberations with persons designated by the governing body to negotiate real property transactions. And to have this executive session, we're going to retire to